the Cognitive Rampage Podcast. I got a lot of topics to talk about, so don't worry about that. I'm going to definitely get into a couple things. One thing I'm really excited to talk about right away is kind of a new mission we're taking at the Cognitive Rampage. Kind of a, not a new mission maybe, I don't know, but maybe just pointing out what the mission is, or an addition to the mission. Try to wrap that one for you if you can. I hope your weekend's been good for you. Mine was very, very eventful. I had a enlightening time down in St. Pete Beach. No ad reads, working on something a little different than, I guess, direct advertising, if you will, and point-and-click ads, etc. So we're trying to do a couple more things other than just be able to stream live directly to you, to where you could tune in to YouTube. If you would, please, please, I said please, please twice. Jeez, how desperate is that? Subscribe to the YouTube channel. That's where we also stream the guests that we don't have in the cave. We stream live on YouTube as well. And so any guest that maybe can't get down to Orlando and into the cave, we do virtual. And so in every other podcast that we've ever recorded in the past, other than season one, as we are growing in season one, we didn't have everything ready, but and not everybody's virtual either. And we weren't recording in the cave now, then like we are now. But yeah, check those out. You can watch any live stream from Adam Gates and Paul Rodriguez. The two most recent, Paul was in the cave, MMA professional fighter, coach, ex-UFC fighter, Japan professional fighter. We just spoke with him, and then Adam Gates before that from Naked and Healthy. Check those guys out. We actually, there was a little bit of footage of Paul that we put up when he was sitting in the chair, actually. But if you're on YouTube and you're watching it, you can easily just chat anything you want to, say anything you want to, whatever. Be kind, please. The first thing I wanted to talk about, actually, is a new mission that I kind of want to undertake or help bring awareness to or something. I don't know. Maybe I'll just get straight to it and try not to build it up like I do sometimes. Something I'm trying to get better at, but I like telling stories, but... So the first thing I like to do is I want to make mental health masculine. See, there's a huge stretch. We've talked about it a lot, about kind of the loss of the masculinity across the country, if you will, kind of the decrease of the alpha male. You see that. And whether that's true or not, that's not what this is about. What this is about is are for those alphas and those beta males out there, the introverts and the extroverts, whatever, the all in betweens. But, you know, a lot of men over the years have been told, you know, to suck it up. Whatever you're going through, you're not supposed to tell anybody or have, you know, moments of, you know, weakness or sadness or depression or, you know, I know men that don't even like to use that word depression. You know, they stay away from these things, but. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, what you call things or what titles you put on them. We're all human and we're all affected in some fashion in life and at some point, you know. And look, I get the age of the stoic grandfather. I understand that. I understand trying to be the, you know, the quiet man and not let it, you know, harm you or bother you or get to you emotionally. I get that. I get playing the tough guy. Or not even playing the tough guy. I get being the tough guy, you know? But look, holding that stuff in, it always seems to find a way out. You know what I mean? Is you can only hold the lid on a volcano for so long, right? You know, so if you're holding something, a big pressure, right? And you're trying to hold that back, every once in a while it, you know, that's not a fart, right? It slips out, right? You're that pressure, you're trying to hold it in, and sometimes it just, it leaks out sometimes, right? And that can leak out on the ones you love, you know, your kids, your wife, even at your job, you know, employees and friends, you know, it can, that pressure can leak out if you don't find a way to purge it or a place to put it sometimes. And I it's not to say that women as well don't go through their own struggles, but look, I'm not a woman. I can't speak to those special things that separate you from us, right? That are different. I can talk to you in a psychological way about the research, the biology, the things we know. But, you know, experiences firsthand, you know, so this isn't in any way trying to shape a gender into a specific role as alpha, beta, masculine, etc. Because, you know, a lot of girls out there as well and women have, were taught the same thing. They were taught to just be tough, right? To just suck it up, that, you know, they couldn't be emotional. Otherwise, they'd be seen as, you know, a weak girl or a weak female, right? A weak lady. So, you know, I understand that the ladies can go through that now, and almost more than ever these days, because there's, you know, a very strong movement. You know, I call it the Beyonce movement, right? It's, you know, all the women are finding their independence, and it's beautiful, right? But, you know, a lot of men still struggle with the idea of mental health even being real, with it being an issue. And I get that. I get that so much, because there is a lot of bullshit in it. There's a lot of scheme in it. There's a lot of structure. There's a lot of guessing, research in it, theoretical perspectives. I get that. It's not mechanical medical science. We, you know, but, you know, a lot of times if you find yourself making fun of mental health, you know, making fun of, you know, psychology or, you know, ideas or even self-help books or anything like that, we tend to make fun of what we don't understand. And if you can't argue both sides of the argument, you know, for therapy or for counseling or for, you know, seeking change or help or however it is you seek out that path to change or just help, what, you know, I want to focus on is, you know, bringing those masculine men out of the closet that are going through some shit. And out of the closet, per se, you know what I mean? That are going through some shit, that are too, I don't want to say afraid, but are too prideful or too, or feel the need they need to be strong, because maybe your wife or your kids or a lot of people around you are going through something similar, and you don't want to feel selfish. So you, like a man, right, hold that in. And I guess what I want to set out to do is make the idea of reaching for help, whether it's social support group from other men, or finding new activities or new places to work out or new people to talk to or things to experience, you know, find a way to express yourself, to open those ideas up. You don't have to play the coal miner man anymore. You know what I'm saying? And to just act like nothing affects you in life, well, that's just fucking delusional, man. And we all go through something, you know? And at that point, that's kind of what I'm stressing. A lot of men tend to reserve. They tend to get quiet and not talk about it, right? They don't want to reach out, you know, for help. And a lot of women too. I get that, you know. But with a lot of the awareness being pointed toward mental health, I guess I want to take a couple shows, maybe this whole season, this year, I don't know. But start to kind of point out that, you know, mental health can be masculine. It's not about the cliche shit about being in touch with your feminine side, because if you ask me, that's gender disassociation. You're separating by getting in touch with your feminine side. It's not about that, because, I mean, look, man, I hunt, I fish, I do the manly shit. You get me? Now, women do that too these days, so don't get me wrong, but I do that AKA stuff, that outdoorsman stuff. I do these things, but I can sit down and have a talk with somebody about different levels of consciousness and awareness and, you know, any idea, right? But I can talk about how I feel, about how something may appear to be spiritual, or I can talk about ways that I can think differently, ways that I can change my behavior, that I don't have to just tough through things, right? And I guess that's what I want to bring awareness to, is you two men out there, you guys that feel like you have to just act like shit ain't wrong, find that help. Reach out to brothers, man. Reach out to people just like you. Reach out to your cousins, your friends, your neighbor. Find masculine dudes just like, I promise they're out there. You know, people are probably looking for the same kind of help, but, you know, somebody's got to know that's okay. And I guess that's what I'm trying to say, is for all you masculine dudes out there, you guys that are real alpha males that are holding it down, doing the tough shit out there daily, you know, I get it. You still go through it. So find, it's okay to reach out for help. You know, it's not weakness. You know, this isn't 1950 something anymore. It's not weakness to do so. It is weakness, I will tell you, though, just to simply reach out your hand for help and do nothing in exchange. If you simply reach out for help and go, here, do something, or put a pill in my hand and make this change for me, well, I'm not going to say that that's very fucking primal. That's not you tapping into you to do what you need to do to find a way to also help yourself. But when you reach for help and you're doing the work yourself, right? People love helping that, man. They love being a part of that change or transition. And there's a lot of help in social connection. So, I don't know, maybe you can help me and share this and talk about your stories too, you know? If you're that alpha male out there, whatever, share your story about what you're going through or privately reach out for help to somebody. But you don't have to just go quietly into the dark, because that stuff will leak out, man. That pressure will build up, man, and you'll yell at your kid for no reason or something stupid. You know what I mean? I call it killing ants with shotguns. That's what you'll end up doing, because it'll find an escape. But I urge you to also find physical releases, mental releases, and spiritual releases. Keep all those in works. Process those things. Do the work yourself. But don't be afraid to say that something is affecting you. Remember, you aren't depressed. You are not an addict. You're being affected by depression. You're being affected by addiction. The way you say it, words matter. This is not semantics. Words create the visions that we see, that paint the dialogue that's in our head. We can't just emotionally play around with the first words that come to us. So you have to be able to reconstruct those words, you know? Check your dialogue and check your framing. What you say, you are not depressed. You're being affected by depression. If you say to yourself that I am depressed or that I am an addict, well, then you are describing yourself as I am such. And your mind makes pictures out of the words that you use. And when you do that, you assimilate the same behaviors that manifest feelings that seem to last forever. So watch the dialogue that you use. So if you're saying nothing's wrong and you're denying, or you're saying, no, I can tough through it, or I don't need anybody's help, a lot of these manly so-called phrases, man, watch yourself. Be rational. Check it. It's okay to say that, hey, man, I could use some help right now. That's all right. Reach out to other masculine buddies, man. You know, and other dudes out there, don't be afraid to reach out to your friend and say, hey, man, you know, I love you. Just want to tell you I like you today. You cool, man. You're holding it down. You know, my friend Mike the Messenger has been on the podcast. We've grown really close over the last couple months. And he's got a podcast now coming out. We're going to be launching the Be Berry podcast with him. And he called me the other day just to say, hey, man, hey, hi, thank you. Thank you for what you do and love you. And it made my whole fucking day. And let me tell you, you don't want to go 30 seconds with Mike Williams. You know, this is, he's a stoic man. He's like a little walking monk, dude. I mean, he's a good dude. And the same, you know, so don't be afraid to share that. It's not about getting in touch with your feminine side. If you're saying these cliche statements, I'm just going to have to say that you're afraid. Yeah, it's hard to say, you know, but sometimes you just got to be honest, you know, but mental health is real, and mental health can be masculine, man, because as a father figure in your family, when you can talk to your children about the tool of psychology, see, the spiritual implications in these tools, whether you choose to pass them on, believe in them or not, these are things you can teach, but also on earth here that we have tools, research, ideas, thoughts that have been given to us that we can fight, that we call psychology. We can use this research and theoretical understanding of our minds processing to this point in time and change things. We can use those tools. And so as parents or as men, as cornerstones of families, it's not about just teaching being tough. It's not about teaching just being resilient and persevering. It's also about knowing how to get through that maze, because it's easy to say and be a Pop Warner coach and go, put your head down and hit somebody. But that doesn't mean anything. You have to coach them and teach them. You can't just say hit somebody or get in there. You have to teach them. And so as an alpha male, as a rock, you have to not only be able to teach the physical attributes necessary from nutrition and exercise to survive and stay healthy in this world. I think it is our job as men, and alpha male is the cornerstones in your home, to also teach the psychological tools and weapons that our children will need to battle on all fronts mentally in this world. That's jobs as parents. Mental health is masculine, man. Wisdom, knowledge, competence, sharing processes and theories. That's masculine, man. It's the same as killing your own food, taking your own meat, growing your own garden, you know, cultivating your own food. These things are all masculine. The same as hugs and tears and emotions and poetry and music. These things, too, are beautiful and masculine at the same time. And mental health is real, people. And I think the more alpha males that can step up, the more masculine men that lead their families and lead their communities can step up and say, hey, man, I, too, experience something that they call mental health, or they call depression, or they call addiction, or they call anxiety, or they call anything else, or worry, or loss, or grief. I, too, have felt those, and I'm here to help, and this is what helped me. sharing knowledge, open source psychology. I love that idea. Instead of these practitioners hoarding how they do it, hoarding what they've been taught, open source psychology, open source counseling. What you know, share with the world. They want to know too, because your whole path doesn't have to work. But if I can take some from this path and some from this path, and I can cultivate and customize my own way out, well, who cares if it's a theory or even if it has empirical data, if your life's not in danger, etc., right? Mental health can be masculine, man, and it's our job as fathers, husbands, leaders of the community, men in general, women too, to bring awareness to those things. You know, you can do that by telling your story, you know. So I'm going to take that into the part two that I want to talk about with parents. About parents, stop it. You know, what I'm meaning when I say parents, stop it is stop living through your kids if you are. Sometimes you may accidentally be doing it if you catch yourself, whether it's sports or academia, whether you're pushing them to be a doctor, a lawyer, or something you always dreamed to be. Be careful living through them. We do that on accident sometimes because we want the best for them. And sometimes we think what we think and what we've experienced and our result outcome beliefs of it, well, it must be a better or the best way. And we must know better than them, right? Because they haven't experienced what we have. But I've always said it, and I'll say it again, your kids can teach you so much more than I think you can really teach them. But what I wanted to say is, to encourage parents, to encourage your kids in some of the most outlandish ideas that they may come up with. I'm not talking if they're four and they're five and want to do, of course you're going to encourage these creative ideas. But I mean, if your kid is 13, 14, 16, and they have maybe some odd skill that you don't notice or you think is useless, I promise you, there's not a skill out there that isn't useless. And if they're good at something, they're encourage them to maybe, there's a way you could find a living to do something like that. You know, my daughter's an example, you know, a brief example. she's my secret weapon, okay? For my little marketing secret weapon, she comes up with the coolest little things. And she runs this stuff for a band, you know, One Direction, and she's got some fan cult stuff, but she's good at it. So I've always encouraged her, hey, what about a blog? She reads, she writes a lot, she loves to read, you know, and she's thought about it, you know? But, you know, what parent am I? At first, when I saw her tweeting all the time, at one point she had an iPad, two laptops, her phone, and the big TV all up because she was running something, right? Now, as a parent, we may look at that and reject that and go, oh my God, all these screens, you know, go outside with a stick or something, right? That's what we like to say. But I looked around and went, wow, look at, what are you doing? It's like some Mission Impossible stuff, right? And she explained it, and I thought it was so neat, and I learned something, right? And apply some of those tools to the podcast. But you know, if they have ideas or they have these skills or something that you're doing that maybe teachers or principals or even therapists are telling you are abnormal in some fashion or shouldn't be. Remember, fuck reality or shouldn't be, man. As opposed to what? Encourage your kids' most outlandish dreams. Push them as reality to them from such a small age. Let them know that those things are possible, you know, because... You know, Russell Wilson from Seattle, his dad said it best, you know, hey, somebody's got to be there, right? You know, tell your kid that, even if you think they're too short or they're too tall or they're too slow, they're too smart or they can't run that fast, whatever. Don't try to urge them into a way that you think is better. Let them find their way. Let them learn. But be there. Hug them. Support them. Don't I told you so them either. And it doesn't mean you got to feed them all the money to do everything. That's not what I mean either. You don't want to enable them. But if they're maybe are not good at math at this point, don't let them just convince themselves they're not good at math, because that's not so. It can be learned. If maybe they don't read so good and they say that, if you find your kid saying things that they're not good at, don't say, well, don't say that, but you're good at this. When you try to convince them that, hey, but you're good at this, you just kind of confirm with them they really aren't good at something, instead of encouraging them to practice it and get better at it. Because you never know, some kid out there, could be yours, that thinks they're bad at math or thinks they can't read. If pushed to say, hey, go learn to read, you can train, you can get better at it. Maybe that's the world's next best engineer, doctor, researcher that finds the next antibiotic or cure for something. But that kid would never go that way if we plugged him full of Vyvanse and ADHD medication and told him to sit down and be normal. And we said, you shouldn't like those kind of things. And we told him, well, you shouldn't do this and shouldn't do that based on our own ideals or as parents and teachers, we think they should be doing. We should be encouraging them. And so if you find that, help them find it. If it doesn't mean you have to go giving them ideas. See, I know a lot of parents that, you know, it feels like the right things. I was doing it too until I sought help and asked questions. You know, here, look, try this, try this, try this. You may find the more options you present to them, the more they tell you no. They're doing that because the more things that you pick and offer to them, the more flags you take away from them. And what I mean is, as your kid's getting older, they want to be able to take their flag and stick it in the ground and go, this was my idea, my thought, my vision. You put 10 ideas in front of them, you just possibly took 10 ideas that they could have thought, you know, they thought of on their own and followed in some authentic fashion. And parents, I know, you feel like you're doing good. A lot of books say that, right? You want to encourage them. You can do that, but you can do that without living through them. You can do that without forcing them in directions you think is best or safe. Encourage those most outlandish ideas. Paint it with them. If they're 10 and got an idea for a movie, walk it through with them. If they want to write a book, tell them to start writing. It doesn't matter. If they want to be in space, take them to those places. See, when a kid has a little interest, it's our job as parents to feed them that little bit of interest. And where you don't do that is in the food. Just because they get a little interest to something sweet, you don't have to give it to them. It's your job as a parent to keep it from them and keep them healthy and teach them. But when they have a little interest for something you may think is stupid or a waste of time or doesn't make any money, it is your job to feed them that competence, give them that experience, so that experience can help them be confident whether that is something they love or isn't. They'll love you for that when you give them the experiences. Now, I'm not saying that you need to feed them or enable them and do everything either. And sometimes, just because they start some, it doesn't always have to be you started it, you finished it. Sometimes I agree with that principle. I do. I really do. But it can be subjective. So just encourage your kids to do those things. Maybe you can observe them. Maybe you can look around and get outside of your own comfort zone of what you think they should do or what skills and talents you think they have. And maybe say, man, I notice what they do a lot. Notice what they do a lot, because kids, they really will self-teach. There's tons of research out there that shows kids will self-teach if left to their own devices to research. Also, if left to their own devices with video games, screens, and iPhones, they will do the same. The same with sweet, snacks, salty, and shit they shouldn't eat. That's your job as parents is to maintain that and slowly give it to them so they can maintain it. Be careful just taking it all away. But, you know, you feed them that competence as you see real interest. As you see real interest and you see them start to seek out competence on their own, that might be a tell of something where you need to step in. It doesn't mean when your kid comes home and says, hey, I had an idea, I want to try this, and then you go blow the money on it. Say, hey, you know what? Do some research. Bring some stuff back to me. See if they're willing to do a little homework and see what they do on their own. They may be doing stuff already on their own that you don't understand, that you may even criticize. That could be a future for them. You know? The last part about this part of the kids and parents is, please try to get out of the idea about paying their dues. Jeremy Pound brought this up on a podcast, his first podcast on here with me, and Jeremy Pound talked about the bullshit of having to pay your dues. See, a lot of people don't want kids to have free college because, well, they had to pay for college and they suffer, so, well, they got to do it too because that's the game. And I thought, how selfish. If my kid can go to college without having to pay for it, or even if I paid for it, but if without the stress of it. My point is, just because you had to do something or put your dues in, if you will, doesn't mean that that's the road. It doesn't mean that that's the only path, and it doesn't mean that they have to pay their fucking dues either. If they find the right interest and the right passion, then those talents may cultivate directly to it, and they surpass paying dues and become the best at what it is they do, or the discovered. But as parents, I think we too have to almost think like children. We have to remember what it was like when we were young, when we had a lot of ideas of all the possibilities and all the optimistic hopes of what could be. And then mix that with what we know and how to obtain that knowledge and teach that to your kids. Show them, experience it with them, but help them seek that competence, you know? Don't shun Don't shun dreams and wild ideas because, well, you don't get it, or because it's not what it's supposed to be or should be. Don't shoot all over yourself with your kid, you know. Push them to do something. And, you know, support them in that. Support them in whatever it is they're choosing to do. But if you're joining live, welcome to Cognitive Rampage in our first live go-round. I think we're still broadcasting out there. I still see you. We're all still good. You know, I got to watch the Super Bowl with my grandmother, who I like to joke around to say that, you know how they call, was it Superman on the red phone? And when they call Superman on the red phone, I like to joke around that Mama, Marianne Davis, has one of those red phones that rings directly to God or the creator, something spiritual, right? Whether you believe or not. I try to speak of the purity of which my grandmother speaks and carries herself. And, you know, she's 83 years old, and I've never once in my life seen her angry at anybody. I've never heard her say a bad word. And I've tried to pull a lot of that wisdom out of her lately, you know, and sit and just talk with her about things. And we just sat, and she fell asleep on my shoulder last night as we were going into the third or fourth quarter. And, you know, she's been there for so long in my life. You know, Mama has been. And your Mama probably has been or was, and you've had to redefine that relationship. Remember, you never lose a relationship. You just have to redefine it. And I guess what I want to encourage in this segment was to get to know your grandparents. And if you got kids, really let your kids get to know your grandparents. You know, I sat down and talked to her about her childhood and what she remembers and things that she saw, what she went through, what she looked for, and what her tricks are and what her philosophies are. And I love my daughter as much as possible to be around my mom. And it was awesome to see her and my mom, too. I was down there. I love you, Mama. It's good to see her and Jack, too. He's such a great dude, man. I love you, too, Jack. You know, he's been with my mom for good couple years now, 4 or 5 years, I don't know, really a long time, maybe longer, it could be 6, 10, I don't know. But Jack, I love you, man. He really takes care of my mom. He looks out for her, and it's about time. You're well-deserving, Mom. But it was good to spend time with him. And, you know, I wanted to encourage you to, you know, get your kids to your grandparents. And just because you got beef with them, or maybe you got some undone stuff with them, don't use your grandkids as pawns, man. If you are, stop it. Stop it right now, parents. Don't use that kid's life in the moments from your kids and your children's moments of life to be with their grandparents so you could prove a point. Now, if it's a safety reason, you know, obviously, do all the obvious here, please, okay? But, you know, if it's not a danger, et cetera, then, you know, and if it is a danger, you need to take the right steps, the legal steps or whatever, but let them get to know them, you know? Let them sit down and talk to them. My grandfather on my father's side, Papa, he died when I was really young. You know, I think I was 6 or 9, maybe one of those two, 6 or 9. But so I didn't really get to know him well. You know, my brother did. He was 8 years older than me, my brother is. But all I got to hear really was stoic stories of my hillbilly honky-tonking, bar-singing, coal-mining grandfather. But just those stoic stories, you know. But I wish I had a chance to talk to him more, you know. My mom's side father, Papa, who they say I look like a lot, who was a teacher for his whole life, I got to spend a lot of time talking to him. I was with him the night before he passed, actually. I knew when we were all at my mom's house when she was living in Gainesville, and we were all up there. I was riding his little red electric scooter around, and he was laying in bed, and it was weird. It's like I knew, you know, when I hugged him that night or that evening when I said goodnight to him, it's like I knew that was it. You know, I knew he was going to leave. And he did. He left the next morning. But, you know, take your kids to your grandparents, you know. Get to know them. And even aunts and uncles, you know, if the grandparents aren't there, you got to let them pass that competence down. Let them pass the experiences down of what it used to be, you know. Heck, and we all know that on our way out at that age, we're a lot like young kids, aren't we? We come in, we go out the same way we go in, or we come in this place, right? So, I don't know. I think they could do a lot of good for each other. I think, you know, Some of the older people love to be around the little kids. Makes them youthful. Shows them what's important. And they share knowledge. And whether the grandkids paying attention or you think, don't force the interaction. Because a lot of times those kids just remember it. They just remember the unconditional love, really. That's what I remember most. See, it's not necessarily these moments all the time. You know, I got a lot of them with Mama, but it's just the feeling of the unconditional love that they give, you know, and the wisdom they can drop in 2 seconds, you know. So, you know, get your kids to your grandparents, you know. Pass down that knowledge, pass down that wisdom. That's, you know, really what I want to talk about in that part. And, you know, to pick it up a little bit, I'm going to talk about the Florida boy. Yeah, you see, you heard what I said there, right? The Florida boy. It comes out of me sometimes still. You'll hear it once in a while. Joe Rogan actually picked up on it when I was on his podcast. We've said it a few times, but he noticed my dialect and thought to point it out. And you know, a lot of people make fun of Florida, and by all rights have a lot of reasons to. We have a lot of racial issues down here. It's like Jerry Springer just seemed to cast from Florida, Daytona Beach in particular. But, you know, Florida does some crazy shit, and we're ran by some really rich, psycho, right-wing nut jobs too. So, yeah, a lot of that stuff is true, no doubt, no doubt. And we have swamps and crazy animals down here. It's nuts, right? But all of that environment makes other kind of people than what the media and people like to portray about Florida boys and even Florida girls. You know, we're a different breed. We really are. We're a different breed, and I think that comes across differently sometimes because, you know, we'll hunt, we'll fish, we'll fight, we'll wrestle. Half of us pray. Some of us don't. But we'll meditate. We'll play some hip-hop, wear some Dickies and some house shoes, drive 79 Chevy Caprices and 1995 Ford Broncos. You know, we put giant fucking tires on small lowrider Chevys and Caprices and Impalas, and we put giant mudding tires on S10s. We do some outlandish shit out here, man. But, you know, we're not all toothless hillbillies like they like to portray. Because in the South, too, although on top of a lot of racism and all the obvious shit, there's also a little phrase called Southern hospitality. You know, a lot of places still say ma'am around here. Not in Orlando. Outskirts of some small towns they do, but, you know, a lot of small country towns and southern towns, they do. And some of us still take our hats off inside. I don't, so forgive me, Mama. But, you know, we share meals. We help each other out. I mean, the South can do some fun, awesome, loving things, but we do some wild things too, right? You can catch us in the woods for days. Some of us out there can walk in the woods and just disappear for 2 weeks without anything and find our way back just fine. Some of us can jump into the bush with a 200-pound hog and take it out with a knife. Mm-hmm. I mean, hell, Hank Williams sings the song about it that we're all famous for, right? You know, a country boy can't survive, and whether it's country or, because Florida boys aren't country either. Because you could call them country, and they're not rednecks, they're not country. These are all different slang terms of derogatory ideas when a Florida boy and Florida girls are just something a little different. See, when you hear me sometimes, it may sound like I'm from New York. I get that a lot, right? People sometimes are like, man, you sound like you're from New York. But that's not what happens. What comes out accidentally when I start in these flow states and I'm talking is the years I spent in a certain kind of game with a little Southern hospitality and some little swang and a little, I don't know, draw to it. But then when you top it with some education, some experience, some research, some writing, some poetry, some Renaissance type shit, it's like the redneck Renaissance and shit. I mean, Florida boys are different. Florida girls are different. We can hang out at the beach all day. We can swim all day. We fish. We hang out. We love, you know, alligators don't scare us. They just don't. You know, most of us know. You know, we know what a snowbird looks like. We know what tourists are. But Florida comes together too. We look out for each other's communities. A lot of these communities stand together against a lot of bad shit. And when bad things go down and people get hurt or people pass, communities come together. That exists, man. And that exists all across the country. I don't want to get that twisted either, see? But Florida's not all the media always makes us up to be. And like some of this corrupt politics and bullshit corruption really makes Florida look. Because there's some real Southern hospitality down here. There's some good old boys. There's even some imports that came from New York and places around that have been here since they were little that have kind of molded into Florida boys and Florida girls themselves. And they mix it too, right? And then you'll start to hear them sound like me. Well, they got educations and they come from New York, but they were raised in, I don't know, a little town called Ocoee or Apopka. Pine Hills, Winter Garden. And we're different, man. You know, and part of this, when I started these podcasts and started little journals and things, part of me, after the degrees and all, felt like from some professional angle, I had to feel bad about this idea where I come from or bad about the things I've experienced or the way I talk sometimes because, well, it can be a little different. But, Florida boys and Florida girls are a little different, man. We can be a little fucking crazy. We can. But I can tell you, I got some of the closest friends in the state of Florida that I know would have my back regardless. Friends I haven't talked to in a long time and years that they get it. We can see each other and sometimes we don't have to say anything. We can just go fishing. That's cool about a lot of Florida boys too is we can pretty much pull over anywhere you want to and pull up a fish for you or find you something to eat or grow you something or build you something or whatever. So, I don't know. To people all around the world, because we're in almost every country and we're in every state. You know, Florida's got some crazy shit, but we all do in our states, don't we? But there's something special about Florida boys and Florida girls, too. We got our own little ways about us, you know what I mean? So, that's just who I am, I guess, right? Sometimes, parts of it. You can pull those special things from it, I guess, each. But I had to do a little shout-out for the Florida boys and make something, you know, a little specific, you know? A little bit. And, oh, a little shout-out to the 10-second forward button on Netflix. You know, the little thing where you can hit it and it automatically goes forward or backwards 10 seconds. I love that fucking button. And let me tell you why. I don't watch TV. I know I'm an asshole, whatever. No, but I don't. I watch a lot of documentaries, a lot of research, a lot of reading articles, etc., you know, going through it. But on Netflix, I sometimes will watch a show like Vikings or Game of Thrones or some shit like that, right? I like the, what's that one show? Black Sails, too. I get into it when I can, but they always start out so good and got some manly shit going on, masculine stuff, and before I know it, I think I'm fucking watching Days of Our Lives or some shit. Like, the head guy will go slay, like, 10 evil demons or some stuff and come back in. Now he's at some party drinking ale in a corner, worrying about if some girl is eyeing his friend or not. It's terrible. But guess what I get to do? Thank you, Netflix. Please never get rid of the 10-second forward button because I don't have to watch every stupid 8-minute love scene and bullshit-ass drama like I'm watching Pretty Little Liars, Gossip Girl, or some shit like that. I can fast-forward. I'm watching a show called Vikings. I don't need to watch to see if somebody's going to pick somebody else or sleep with somebody else, for the love of God. So, shout-out to the Netflix 10-plus button. I love that button. And get Netflix. I'm trying to be a little more organized, right? So, I usually go off in tangents. And to wheel the whole podcast in, the last bit I want to talk about are to those that may be in a place in life, career-wise now, I'm talking career-wise directly here, that may be doing something for a living in their life that either they don't like or they think is beneath, or you think is beneath you, or is something you shouldn't be proud of, or et cetera. Or maybe you believe you should be farther than yourself, right? Again, you're shooting all over yourself. But I would encourage you to keep a few things in mind. I, too, went through my plethora of testing jobs, right? I wanted to try this career, So I would try little entry-level jobs at a bunch of places to see if it would reveal some passion along the way. Everything from running hotels to, I did running hotels to selling insurance with a few offices. Shout out to my cousin Jesse. Love you, bro. I could go down the list, right? It's too long to try these things, but I wanted to just try it, right? I get a job in the industry. That's what I encourage people to do. If there's something you want to try, find an entry-level job, get into it, see what the bosses are doing, you know, see if that's something you could do. But, you know, search those experiences. So I can tell you from experience directly in my own life, you know, fucked up jobs I had, man, where I was embarrassed to even say it at sometimes, or things that I had to do. They all taught me something somewhere along the way. It's weird. It's like everything up to now, you know, that I'm doing now currently, from writing the book, making the documentary, doing these podcasts, whatnot, helping, speaking, whatever I can do. I have seen every job from digging a hole to working a front desk, every little job. Hell, I was a vice president of a construction notice company, a notice to owner company, if you even know what an NTO is. Excuse me, I even did that. So that job taught me something. Every job that you're at will teach you something. So if you're sitting in a place currently career-wise in your life that, you know, either isn't making you the money you think you deserve, etc., or whatnot, A, I don't want you to think about putting in your dues, because that's not what I'm telling you here, bro. I'm not telling you you got to put in your dues and grind it out, because that's what 90% of America does, so that's what you should do. Right? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to help you shit all over yourself, right? You don't should do anything for the most part, right? You should be a good person and take care of those that you love. But outside of that, I don't know too many should do's, and even that can be debatable. So where you're at in your life currently, or what you currently do for a living, don't take it so personal right now. Remember, what you do is not a reflection of who you are. Too much in this country have we reflected that what you do for a living is who you are as a person, or is in some way the Hunger Games, as if the job title that you hold down or the income that you have puts you in some better level as a person. It may buy you more things, etc. But like I said in a post and from my experience on St. Pete Beach this weekend, which is a spiritual revelation as always, is that you don't have to do something great. It's about being a great person. You know, my mom helped add to that back in this weekend when I was talking to her. And, you know, I know a lot of people and a lot of friends and a lot of people I've talked to, they struggle to do something great. And I stress to you that if you're breathing, if you're alive, well, mission accomplished. It's something great. And you are not what you do. If you define yourself by your performance and by your titles, well, then the value of self can be, well, ripped away from you at any time. If the value of who you are as a person is placed in what you provide in some material or title fashion, well, then you don't have control over your own happiness. You may have the illusion of it. Even if you own your own business, because your clients and essentially become your boss. So at any time, these things can be ripped from us, and so if you're doing something you don't like or something you don't respect, but if it's giving you what it needs then right now, find a way to do it better. You know, find a way to make that job improve somebody else's life, because I have found the fastest way to growth and steps up and opportunities in life come is when you just start helping other people and serving others. So if you're in that job or that career right now, don't feel like you have to force something or do something. Sometimes the best advice is you don't have to do anything. But maybe be grateful for being great already and being alive. It's not about works or deeds or being able to go down a list of things. Because think about it. You accomplish whatever it is, say you got on your plate. You achieve that goal. You won't have arrived. A lot of people that are searching financial freedom, et cetera, whatever, a lot of people are searching really just for freedom in a sense. But if you think you'll just arrive one day, then you got it backwards, I think. because it'll be something else. It'll be something bigger. It'll be another house, another job, another, hell, it can be another fundraiser, another nonprofit. Remember, being alive is great. And the real push, I think, the real focus needs to be on being a great person, not about doing great things, because being a great person is doing something great. I hope you're taking care of you. This has been the first live broadcast of the Cognitive Rampage. Got a lot of things coming up this week. Renee McNown is coming on the podcast Wednesday. She is awesome. Let me see if I can pull up her long read of her resume, if you will. And it's just, it's not really even a resume as it is something short to look up. Man, I don't like the new upgraded system on the iPhone to get to the camera, to get to your pictures. It's like extra taps now that I have to do. And I'm probably doing it wrong. I should probably ask my daughter, right? The secret. Yeah, she's my little secret. I got to pull up the profile because I don't want to screw anything up. I want to make sure I get this right. There she is. It's Renee McGannigan, or I'm sorry. She's going to have to help me pronounce it. And even half Irish in me is killing me, if you're Irish too, right? Or no, Canadian, France, French, maybe French. I don't know. British Columbian. Could be British. Could be British. Oh, but no. She's the CEO of Cannabis Century Inc. in Canada, the founder and former CEO of Canada's first five commercial marijuana licenses. She's an inventor and a proud supporter of Women Grow. She is awesome. She took her company public. She went to the stock market with it. She has been very successful, but Renee will be on Wednesday. We're going to sit with her. She's going to come on the podcast. And then on Saturday, my mentor, a guy who has been with me through the first authoring of the book, through my internships, through my first clinical jobs, Leo Deannebal will join me on Saturday. And we're doing a special episode on relationships. You know, I'm usually not going to talk much about relationships unless it's self-improvement or optimization of a relationship. But he is the foremost expert. Leo, I love Leo to death. He has been there for me over the last 5 years of my life at some very key times. And I love him to death. And Leo's going to join us on the podcast Saturday. And we're going to talk about relationships, obviously, with another plastic holiday they've invented and hijacked in Valentine's Day to make us spend some money. So we'll accommodate and talk about dating, etc., relationships, improvement. He actually, for those of you single people out there as well, because I know a lot of single people don't want to listen to about bullshit ass relationships, right? But for single people, you have to understand that he also has a formula for finding the one you love, for finding the right one. He has a step process of how to implement and stop picking the wrong one. So he'll share those steps and his philosophies on life. Leo was on the Cognitive Rampage back in 2013 or 14 when we were streaming from Ustream, when it was a laptop computer and our office that we shared and streamed rather ghetto-like with no microphones. But he was there with me for like the first 30 episodes of back in the day. And so you could even go to our YouTube channel where we're streaming from live now. You could probably find some of those old broadcasts that him and I did. But Leo will be with us Saturday. I wish I could see my calendar, but we covered up with the curtains and stuff. You know what? I think I took a picture of it because I knew that we covered it up with the curtains and stuff. And let me see if I was intelligent enough to do so. I was. Look at that. Man, I have my moments, don't I? So, Renee, Leo, I covered. Oh, yeah, that's right. Dr. Bobby Hoffman will be joining us Monday the 15th. He will be in the cave. We'll be streaming live from YouTube. Look up Dr. Bobby Hoffman. He's a professor at UCF on motivation and drive. He has some books out and does tons and tons of research on the science and biology, if you will, or the science behind motivation and drive. I've been looking forward to talking to Dr. Bobby Hoffman for a while. So he'll be here Monday, February 15th. I may kick out a podcast on the 17th for a couple special reasons, because I will be at a TED Club event on February 16th at Hidden in Plain Sight. You'll see it on the Facebook, but I will be at that TED event on the 16th, so I will be doing a podcast on the 17th to probably talk about that. And on the 18th, on Thursday, the 18th, he returns. Andrew Mirante. Mirante. You're going to have to say it for me, baby, when you get back, but I love this dude. I love this dude. He gave me a badass mug that was up here. It says, get shit done because of my coffee. And this thing I'm using as a mouse pad now, it's awesome. You should read this shit. But it's kind of the mantra in the cave. Everybody, we read that together. We burn some sage. It's like a whole starting cast, right? But he's coming back. He was just over in Mardi Gras in New Orleans, and he's been doing a lot of stuff. And if you haven't checked him out, check him out on Facebook at AM Insights, Andrew Mirante. You can find links to him on our website. And a guest I cannot tell you about, the beginning week of February, and the guest to round out February is awesome. I'm bringing this guy on for the ladies, or the gentlemen, whatever. He's an LA boy. I'm sure he don't give a shit. But no, Lee Andrews is coming on. If you haven't looked up Lee Andrews' album, Lee Andrews was a guy I got to know for a brief time with my friend, my manager, Daniel McNamara. And we hung out for a short brief time. We frequented downtown a lot and saw each other. A lot of you locally here in Orlando know who Lee Andrews is. But he has an album on iTunes called Just Feel Good and a song. I love that album. That was my take a lady out on a date and play when you got back to the house and light the candles and drink the wine. I used to play Lee Andrews all the time. He's got a new single that he just dropped, and his album's dropping in April out from LA. My boy has arrived. But we both know you can't do that. He has ignited, but he'll be on the show February 25th. And I said a special guest there. We got a few booked into March, but those are the guests that are coming up for now that I can tell you about. Got a bunch in the works, though. But that's everybody. We're going to wind down. It's going to be a busy week. I hope you enjoy this podcast, and hope the weekend treated you well. Congratulations to the Denver Broncos for doing what they did. Kudos to you, Peyton, for the walk-off. The football gods treated you well. Hope everybody had a good weekend. Hope you're loving yourself. Hope you're taking care of you.